Good morning, everyone. We're calling to order this Wednesday, June 27th, regular variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Ater Taylor, who's our executive secretary and at the controls for the hearing today. A few general items: the presentation and the order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. And the applicant and or owner will be allowed up to 3 minutes for rebuttal if there's any public comment in opposition to the project. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public at the end of the item and may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, or may indicate an inclination to either grant with conditions, deny, or continue the item. Items on the consent calendar are generally considered routine by the zoning administrator. If anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step forward, otherwise they'll be granted. And there's a few on the agenda today, up to 7 on the consent calendar today, and we'll get to that in just a minute. There's general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time. We do ask that conversations not occur in the room. It is distracting to others. So if we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss the projects, but that be done outside so as to avoid disturbing others. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And lastly, finding number five, that the granting of the variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign in at the sign-in sheet on the far wall. That's also very important because the decision letter is the appealable document, and the decision may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the written decision. Other items, the next variance hearing is scheduled for July 25th. Audio recordings of these hearings are available on our website as a link from the hearing agenda. And now we can move on to our calendar.
Like mentioned earlier, we have 7 items in our consent calendar. Item number 1, case number 2017-015959 VAR, 46 Grandview Terrace, rear yard variance sought. Item number 2, case number 2014.0008 VAR, 33 Norfolk Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number 3, case number 2017-013205 VAR, 3130 Broderick Street, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Item number 4, case number 2018-001090 VAR, 532 Arlington Street, minimum lot area variance sought. Item number 5, case number 2018-002221 VAR, 1270 to 1272 Fitzgerald Avenue, exposure variance sought. Item number 6, case number 2017-010559 VAR, 1950 to 1960 Jackson Street, front setback variance sought. And last item for the consent item, item number 7, case number 2017-014304 VAR, number 10, Judah Street, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any public comment on any of the seven items that have just been read into the record? If there is no public comment, then those seven items would be granted on consent. Just to be clear, any public comment on any of those items that were read into the record?
Yes, item number two.
Item number two. Any other items that would anyone requesting to be taken off of consent? So I'll read the items that will be considered under consent, excluding item number one. So we have, excluding item number two. So we have item number one, 46 Grandview Terrace. Item two, 33 Norfolk will be taken off of consent and we will have a public hearing on that item. Item three, 3130 Broderick Street will be on consent. Item four, 532 Arlington Street on consent. Item five, 1270 to 72 Fitzgerald Avenue on consent. Item six, 1950 to 1960 Jackson Street on consent. And lastly, item seven, 10 Judah Street on consent. Any public comment on those other items other than item two? It's a going once, going twice kind of thing. So we'll close the public hearing on those items. Inclined to grant on consent items one and three through seven. We will begin our regular public hearing with item number two.
First item in our regular calendar, item number two, case number 2014-008-VAR, 33 Norfolk Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor?
Did you have a question, sir?
I did, I'm sorry, I'm new to this. My project is listed over here, but you didn't list me out. Am I still on that docket?
Yes, you're on the regular calendar,
okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
So the
thank you.
Can the project sponsor for 33 Norfolk Street please step forward and present your case?
You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. My name is Toby Levy. I'm the architect for the project. Here are the evidence of the posting and the sign. Okay. Zoning Administrator Sanchez, this is a project on Norfolk Alley, and it's been under planning staff review for actually over 3 years. We're seeking a variance for the rear yard not being located at grade. This is a very narrow lot, and we are surrounded by buildings almost on all sides except for the rear yard of a building that fronts on Folsom. As part of our hearing in front of the Entertainment Commission, they were very concerned because they have complaints all the time from the club that abuts our property to the east. It is called Halcyon, and they've been cited numerous times, and they were concerned that our property with residential people, residents living there, would increase the number of complaints. Although they do, they are proceeding against this club, they just didn't, and they've had a lot of complaints in the neighborhood, they didn't want our new residents to be adding to those complaints. So they asked us to build this tall wall.
If you could,
actually, they required us to build this tall wall.
I need to zoom out there, sorry.
I need this area. Right over here. That's actually on top of our rear parking area to be 20 feet tall to exceed the height of their skylight. So if we were required to keep our open space at grade, it would be 30 feet down, it would be 15 foot narrow, and it would virtually be unusable to our tenants. It would be dark most of the year. So we seek the variance because this is a unique condition. Responding to our neighbors and the Entertainment Commission would make the use of our open space almost dark all the year, and bringing it up the extra 10 feet would help it get sun, at least part of the year, and it would increase the benefits to our neighbors. Otherwise, it will not affect anybody, and it will promote the sort of livability and neighborhood comfort around us.
Thank you. So you're seeking the variance only for the ground level. It is compliant at the upper level.
Correct.
Additional part of that variance will be the very tall wall, which is required to address
the sound. Yes.
And do you have on a site plan, you could just show the nature of the adjacent properties as well to put that on the record?
Do you have it? This is Norfolk. This is the rear yard of Holy Cow. This is Halcyon. There's another club here. And this is our neighbor, who I think is already 20 feet tall. So we're blocked in almost on three sides. And this is like also a very short rear yard, but it's a club that has an outdoor deck. So the Entertainment Commission wanted us to have the wall there too.
Okay, on that side as well.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item, item number two for 33
yes.
Norfolk Street? Please
yes.
step forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Is the volume okay? I'm the owner of the Holy Cow buildings that abut this property to the north. And so I'm not quite sure. Are there windows on the side of the wall that you're talking about that are over the Holy Cow deck? Okay, good. I've been involved in this community since 1991. I've been the property owner since 2005. I was the nightclub owner of the Holy Cow from 1997 till 2013. I'm very, very familiar with this area. I had an opportunity to purchase this property, but I couldn't in good conscience develop it into residential because it abuts five clubs. It will be an absolute disaster if you guys allow residential buildings to go into this particular lot. The other side of Norfolk is under construction. They're putting in 336 units, and I'm all for it. That's fantastic for our area. But this particular property is right in the center of five of the largest clubs, and it's going to be a nightmare for all public services, especially the police force. If we have one complainant, it does not matter if they sign a lease that says it's an entertainment community and there's noise. We've gone through this before in 1999, where a lady moved into the Jackson Brewery building, signed a lease that said that, had a five-year-old son, sued and put one of the clubs, VSF, out of business because the appellate court ruled that even though you sign a lease that says there's noise, it cannot overdo municipal code, which is very vague according to noise. Now, Gina, who owns Al Halcyon, is a fantastic owner. She's put a tremendous amount of money into soundproofing that particular venue. One neighbor moved in across from me and complained and has basically shut the Holy Cow is really bending over backwards to containing their noise and cost Gina another $250,000 on top of all the other money she already spent and the previous owners have spent soundproofing this place. You put this building in right above her, right above Audio Disco and Bergerac and Kali 11 and Holy Cow, it's going to be literally a nightmare for years to come because you're going to get at least one neighbor, and it only takes one, that's going to complain about the noise. I'd like to see it developed. I'm very familiar with that. That property used to be the owners of the property that I purchased. Very familiar with it. It'll be a disaster. And as far as the variance is concerned, I think you're talking about what abuts the properties on 11th Street?
Yes.
Okay.
And yours.
Yep. Yeah, I would love to see, if a building is built there, I would love to see some setback from our walls directly. Anyhow, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
You have also 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. Zoning Administrator Sanchez. My name is Russell Robinson. I actually represent Halcyon and Gina Milano, the owner of Halcyon. I want to just correct something. Yes, there are two neighbors in particular who are complaining about noise coming from Halcyon, noise they can't pinpoint as actually originating from Halcyon, and that while this is not the Entertainment Commission, some of the issues present here today in connection with this zoning variance are going to impact decisions and actions by the Entertainment Commission for years to come. And what you're going to be doing, if you allow this variance to go through, and you allow this wall to go right up to the property property line is you're going to be not only encouraging, but guaranteeing that every property owner, every condo owner in those 19 condos, every one of those people is going to be complaining about noise. The Entertainment Commission, it has literally two inspectors going out inspecting all the clubs in the city. The nightclubs, the bars, everybody who gets a noise complaint, they have two inspectors doing that. You're going to overburden that commission, and they are ill-equipped to deal with that. That's the first thing. And the owner of the property of the Honey Cow, Bill, spoke about this being a disaster. This is a complete recipe for disaster. You've got two parking spaces for 19 units, 27 to 29 beds, if we count a two-bedroom as two beds, a one-bedroom or a studio as one bed. So you're going to have at least 20 cars on the streets, 20 additional cars down there. Some of these clubs are open until 4 o'clock in the morning on a nightly basis, legally, lawfully. Some of these clubs get to stay open 12 times a year till 6 in the morning. This is, to further reinforce this problem, this is a recipe for disaster. And going over these architectural plans, there is no provision for soundproofing. The only mention of sound four times in these plans, nine pages, four times, has to do with complying with CBC 1207.7, which only means that the insulation provided between the units within the building and the areas abutting the exterior have to cut down the decibel levels by 50, a factor of 50, meaning that if the ambient noise outside is 120, 70 dBs are allowed to come into the unit. That's enough to generate a complaint, unwarranted complaint. Again, this is a recipe for disaster. We're encouraging you not to grant this zoning variance and really to discourage this owner from proceeding with this building.
Thank you. So if the variance is denied and this is just a rear yard variance, then that means they would have to have the rear yard at grade and they would not be able to build the wall, which, as I understand, the Entertainment Commission is requesting. How is that a better project?
I'm not an architect. I can't tell you how that's going to be a better project, and I can't tell you why it's so necessary to have sun in that back area, that area below there. But what it's going to do is it's going to create a sound trap. And I'm not an engineer, and I'm not a sound expert, but I know it's going to create a trap for the sound emanating from my client, Halcyon.
Do you have a sound expert that has made, I mean, because you're making claims that it will be worse for sound, but you're saying you're not a sound expert. Do you have a sound expert who has done any studies that shows what the architect is proposing?
I'm glad you asked, because we're working on that. We are working with the Entertainment Commission on that very issue. Okay. And by the way, there have been no citations issued against Halcyon since mid-December of last year.
Okay. And this has been before the Entertainment Commission, as I understand it. Has your client and you given testimony to the Entertainment Commission about these concerns?
Yes.
Okay.
Not specifically 33 Norfolk. That's correct. Not specifically North. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So any other public?
I have had a tremendous amount of money going out to sound engineers.
If you could step forward and maybe just speak to the point of the
may I ask them a question? And really quickly, are the windows double paned?
Let me answer.
The project sponsor will have a rebuttal maybe can fully go into the.
My apologies. I live in San Diego most of the time, and so I'm not sure what type of windows and stuff they're putting in, but I'm pretty certain that it doesn't. The variance is one thing. It may make a difference because if it abuts it, the bass noise is going to travel through the ground and up through into people's pillows. Even if you have earplugs in, you're going to hear that thumping. Very, very difficult to stop. You'd have to really encapsulate the whole building and concrete down into the ground.
Thank you.
Yep.
Is there any other public comment? And then we'll go to the project sponsor for rebuttal. Any other public comment on item number 2 for 33 Norfolk Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. Thank you.
As part of in preparation for our hearing in the Entertainment Commission, we actually had our sound study redone because it had been done before Halcyon. We've been in planning since 2013, so we had it updated and it included weekends, nights, all day for 8 days, so it included 8 days. So we actually, as a result, as part of our planning approval, which you obviously did not read, we've included a sound study that commits us to a minimum of 34 sort of a window ratings, at least double glazed, and some of them go as high as 38. It prevents, it's like a 38 reading, which are actually very expensive windows. So I think that, you know, it's not that we're being irresponsible. We are allowed to have residential. It is zoned for residential. And our variance is actually just trying to be a compromise between providing soundproofing to our residents, and hopefully we can all live in peace. And as far as parking, as you know, we're limited to two spaces. Period. That's it. We were not going to be granted a conditional use for anything more. Thank you.
Thank you. And could you just describe some of the process that you've had with the Entertainment Commission? Because when this application was submitted, we didn't even have this process.
Correct.
Of going to the Entertainment
Correct.
Commission.
Correct. So we were actually required to go to the Entertainment Commission. Hanu, who's the project sponsor, himself wrote letters and tried to contact each club owner that we were given a name of from the Entertainment Commission. We offered to have a general meeting. They did not. We went to the Entertainment Commission when Halcyon was actually being sanctioned for not responding to their complaint. And that was the compromise. So there was a whole hearing in front of the Entertainment Commission. We had our sound expert from Salter Associates come and testify for the nature, the details they are providing us and the services they've committed to provide to try and actually mitigate some of the concerns about the bass, the transference of vibration and the noise, as well as the airborne. And that was, you know, yes, the commission said they would love to sort of say we can't build, but since it's allowed as part of the general plan and the specific plans, they can't say that, and this was the compromise. Notice we have no outdoor decks in the back. And the only outdoor decks we have are on Norfolk, per se. And we're also hoping that the complaining neighbor across the street from us, once we're built, will shield him from some of the noise as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And the Section 312 notice has maybe not yet started, but
we've actually had, like, you know, because we've been in planning so long, when we started the environmental, we sent one, we had the PPA twice, you know, and then all the, you know, notices have gone out. I can't even tell you how many times.
Thank you. All right. So with that, I am supportive of the application, and I find that denying the variance would do nothing to address the concerns of the adjacent properties. The Entertainment Commission, the Board of Supervisors, has enacted this new process whereby project sponsors with residential units must consult with the Entertainment Commission, must look at how to address or mitigate the sound issues. I'm confident that the project sponsor will work and will address those issues. They have a very reputable sound consultant who will help them design the project in a way to reduce those impacts. So I'm inclined, I would be supportive of granting the variance application. I note that the Section 312 notice is out. So I think at this point I'll take the matter under advisement. I'm inclined to grant the application as proposed, but if through the public hearing process, if there is one with the Planning Commission under DR, if there are other changes that the commission would like to see, we maybe can give a little bit more flexibility. So we'll keep the matter open at this time. But as I said, inclined to grant the application. And we can move on to the next item.
So jumping to everyone. Item number 8, case number 2017-014302 VAR, 2637 to 2645 Mission Street, rear yard, usable open space, and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Tom Tunney of Rubin, Junius & Rose on behalf of the project sponsor. We were here a month ago. We're seeking variances for three new residential units at the property. There weren't any issues with the variance request raised at that time. Mr. Teague did ask us about the possibility of providing open space I guess that was the intention for the open space with a roof deck, which we've investigated. Not sure the origin of the inquiry. Actually, we'd appreciate talking about that a little bit today. But we did investigate that it'd be difficult to provide the roof deck. There isn't a deck there now. Our architect is here, could talk about some of those issues if you like. And there are things we could do with the existing rear yard and open area to make that more usable, if that's a solution. So also available to talk about that if desired.
Thank you, and thank you for identifying that the poster had been not properly posted, and bringing this back for hearing today. And I did discuss with Mr. Teague his thoughts as to the case of the last time that it was heard. He was generally supportive of the application. The request to look at a roof deck was to look at how to improve overall access and quality and amount of open space. And I think one of the concerns was that there is going to be common open space that is abutting the residential units, and usually when that happens, we'll have some buffer in there, which may reduce kind of the size of the open space. So that was the nature of that request. But I look forward to hearing how your team has responded and what comments they have about how they can improve the open space.
Sure. Hi, Charles Heminger, architect, zoning administrator. We looked at a couple options. In these sort of post 1906 buildings, the addition of a roof deck to the top floor of a three-story building creates a whole series of building code issues, which you can ask me to elaborate on, but briefly. The roofs are not built for live loads. They don't even, as they sit, meet the current codes for dead loads. So you have to update the entire roof structure in order to create what is considered in the building department a fourth level of occupancy. So it would require a restructuring of the roof. It would then also trigger lateral issues, earthquake issues, so you'd have to be able to trace the load path all the way down through the building to foundation. It's very difficult. We've looked at these kind of things many times. Some buildings are more set up for it. This one is not. It's what's called a carpenter truss roof, which creates the sloping that was needed back in 1910 or whenever, but does not adequately support even its own current dead load. The other options are to clearly improve the rear yard. We can come up with Esmeralda, a landscaping plan. There is a potential of putting a deck on one of the out structures in the rear of the yard. I think it would create more issues for the adjacent tenants to do that. There is not necessarily a great solution to this other than to make the rear yard as it is more adequate. We could create some kind of division between the new proposed units, little fence, and then sort of a common area for the other tenants. In reality, I don't think the other tenants use this rear yard.
Thank you. And your investigation of a roof deck, did it make any difference as to the size of the roof deck, if a smaller roof deck was proposed?
And I can elaborate more. In addition to structural issues, you have exiting issues when you're at a fourth level. So that means you have to have two means of stairs going up to that, common stairs. One of them must be a rated stair, which comes down through the building. None of that exists at this point. The only time where you get to use this 400 square foot maximum roof deck is if it's a private deck to a private unit when it gets to the fourth floor. It can't be a common deck, sorry. So that would really not be an option to all the tenants.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you for your comments
and
analysis.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any public comment on item 8 for 2637 to 45 Mission Street? Seeing no public comment, I close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance. I appreciate the analysis that you've done as to the roof deck. It doesn't seem that it would be feasible, but would ask you to continue to work with staff and how to maybe address some of the privacy issues for those new units. May not need to be anything as much as a fence, but some planters or landscaping is how we've often handled that in the past. So thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2017-007786 VAR, 1197 to 1199 Dolores Street, rear yard variance sought. Sir, you have 5 minutes.
Yes, my name is Mark Topicher. I am the architect for the project. Thank you very much for hearing our variance today, Mr. Sanchez and everyone. Request for the variance is for a rear yard setback. My client, the building owner, it would like to add decks to the rear of the structure. It sits at the corner of 25th and Dolores Streets. And we are looking at, it's a downsloping lot, so the building looks like about a two-story building from Dolores Street, but about 3.5 stories when you're at the rear. There are three units in the building, two flats, and then a ground floor small one-bedroom unit, and they have a rear yard that is approximately 35 feet in depth currently, and the proposal is to add a deck extension on the rear that steps back as it goes up the building. We would like to extend out, it's 9 feet, 10 inches from the rear of the existing structure. And then as the building, as the decks rise up to the second floor, that particular deck is, the overall deck width is approximately 24 feet, 23 feet, 10 inches to be exact. It sits 5 feet off of the northern property line, and then about 6 feet, 2 inches off of, away from the 25th Street property line. As the deck goes to the second floor, it steps back and it's only 15 feet, 2 inches in width. And then when it gets up to the third floor, it's 9 feet, 4 inches in width. And again, they're extending 9 feet, 10 inches out from the back of the building. The desire is to create open space adjacent to each of the units. The rear yard is accessible from every unit, but it's you have to traverse down 3 stories from the top floor. And even at the lower unit, you're still almost a full story above grade. The remaining rear yard would still be 25 feet in depth. Let me just verify that. Yes, 25 feet in depth. And it is open to the south and to the east with an adjacent house that faces on 25th Street. The current building currently does project further into the required rear yard, and there aren't, it isn't going to be blocking any views from the residence to the north, which is a fairly short building that also does have a rear deck. On that, we would hope that you could grant a variance for us to build these decks.
Thank you. Thanks. It's my understanding the 311 notice expired earlier this month on June 6th. Is that
correct? Yes, I think that's the correct date. And we had not heard anything from any neighbors at that point. We did have the pre-application meeting, and one person attended who was actually one of the tenants in the building.
Okay. So, great. Thank you. Okay. Is there any public comment on this item, 1197 to 99 Dolores Street? And any public comment on item 9, 1197 to 1199 Dolores Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance. As noted, it does provide usable open space, a private usable open space for each unit where it's more easily or readily accessible from the unit, and that is an improvement given the topography of the site. So thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2016-007339 VAR. 52 to 56 Lander Street, exposure variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. So my name is Jim Schisler. I'm the owner of 52 to 56 Lander Street, and I am seeking a variance for exposure for a net new residential unit in a recessed building. It's two buildings on a single lot. The requirement for exposure is 25 by 25 square feet. However, to meet this requirement, we would have to remove two sets of stairs in the rear, which my co-owner and I think are important safety features because they provide a secondary means of egress. Additionally, depending upon how you look at the footprint that's available back there, there's almost 900 square feet of contiguous open space around this recessed building. And I have photos to illustrate that if you'd like to see. So you can see that's the breezeway that goes down the side. And I can show you, oops, that's my poster. And this is what it looks like from the front. I'm an active member in my community. I have letters of support from the Mission Dolores Neighborhood Association. I have 5 individual letters of support from my neighbors. I have 4 more that I wasn't able to get, but I can send to you. I believe, based on my research, that my proposed addition of units supports San Francisco's master plan principles. This also adds a unit that's close to essential public transportation. And as you can see by the photo here, I've done my best to go and maintain the historic character of the property. This cottage, I had to go to the water department to find out when the place was actually built, was built in the 1800s, and I've done my very best to go and maintain the integrity of that. The front building was built in 1902, and I've done the same thing with that, and that's where I live. And so that's why I'm requesting the variance.
Thank you. So how come you didn't pursue this as an ADU, accessory dwelling unit?
Well, so my co-owner and I, we're both in the process of trying to build new units for our parents. There's space. We're zoned to have 5 residential units on this property. We currently have 3. This would be the 4th. We're pretty certain that he would need that. He would need to be able to use the ADU to go and build an additional unit in the front building. So.
So the reason that you're not seeking it here is because intend to use it.
I'm preserving it for my friend.
Okay. Have any application been prepared or submitted for that?
He has not yet.
Okay. Do you know what the timing of that may be?
They just had a second kid, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
we're bursting at the seams.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure thing.
Is there any public comment on this item, number 10, for 52 to 56 Landers Street?
My name is Peter Kimmelman. I'm an architect and live and work in the city. I'd like to speak in support of the variance, as it does increase, again, just to reinforce that it does support the city's master plan by providing infill housing at an affordable rate, since it would be a rent-controlled unit, and that the encroachment is due to egress and could not be deleted. But the encroachment is open. It's a deck and an open spiral stair. The property the rear cottages does not have abutments to it. There are no walls. So it's not really a courtyard so much as it is an open space. So here you can see the spiral stair and how relatively open it is to provide ventilation. And there's only the wall on that. That's the only wall there. There's a matching wall, but there's no wall on the rear. So it's not a true courtyard or light well, shall we say. And there is plenty of light and air and circulation provided to the unit. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on item 10 for 52 to 56 Landers Street? Seeing none, I close the public hearing. You know, I'm fully supportive of an additional unit here, and I think that the quality of the exposure will be more than adequate for the unit. I think at this point I would take the matter under that was a very relaxing
advisement.
Under advisement. Because I would like to get some maybe a written documentation, an email, what have you, from the applicant about the idea of the ADU and that kind of the discussions that you've had with your co-owner are to retain the ability to do an ADU for the front building. Because generally when an application comes like this, we would direct someone to go through the ADU process. But if you have a plan or intent to pursue an ADU for the front building and use up that kind of one credit that you have, then that would certainly be understandable. So, but I'd like to get that documentation for the record. If I may, and you can, yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. So should I work with Kathleen to get that figured out?
Yeah. So I think if you and your co-owner could submit a letter or email, just kind of outlining what why you're not pursuing an ADU with this application, and that you intend to pursue it under a future application.
Cool. Okay. No problem. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. So with that, again, public hearing is closed. We'll take it under advisement and get us some additional information, documents from the applicant, move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2011.0825V, 1248 Silver Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic.
Hi. I'm Lawrence Lau. I'm the son of the owner. So we wanted to get this variance because after going through the building commission, the building department, and attempting to fix our garage. Our garage is about 100 years old. It's falling apart, and it's detached from the house. Ideally, we want to have the garage attached to the house instead of abutted to the neighbors, but this is the only option we have to be able to keep like the backyard as well as have a garage as well too. So this is like the only plan after about 10 years of talking to the building department and having them allow like something like this to go through. So yeah, we would like to get this accepted if possible.
Thank you. And I understand on the original proposal, I think it was more than 10 feet tall, but that you've revised the height just to minimize the size of the garage that you're proposing.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any public comment on item number 11 here for 1248 Silver Avenue?
Yes.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
You adjust the meeting.
Okay, my name is Simon. I'm resident of 24 Hamilton Street, directly affected by the garage shifting over to our property. I oppose to this variance and reason, loss of street side parking space. Once the garage is relocated to the rear of the property line, the existing parking spot will be lost, or it could be altered, okay? So most likely it'll be a loss of parking space. Our neighbors who is requesting approval of variance, they usually are really inconsiderate in terms of parking space, and I want to elaborate with that. They have a tendency of hogging two parking spaces using one car. So you can see right here with the truck, they would park right in the middle. And keep in mind, usually it's with two cars. Residential, they own at least probably 5-6 cars. But they would always have at least 2 or 3 cars parked at the residence. So they would park right in the middle. So our concern is, if they shift the parking space, the garage to this to our parking to the end of the parking line, this will promote the hogging of two space using one car, and using multiple car, they can hog up 4 parking space at minimum, pull 4 parking space. So, and as you can see in the picture. So we wish to maintain the curb gap in between the parking space to prevent our neighbors to continue hogging 2 parking space for with one car and maintain a fairness to all of our neighbors and to the public. Second of all, it will increase population density. Their variance will be extending the house, which can cause higher population density in the area and more crowding of the street side parking. And third for us is the difficulty of painting the house or doing construction with the house. Termites, painting, the variance will make it difficult to paint our house because it leaves no gap to allow a person to paint the house, our house. It'll be more dangerous to paint the house because it will require us to climb up the sloped roof of the garage and risk of falling and overall it'd be more dangerous to paint and do any constructions around our house. And then the fourth is preserving the openness of the neighborhood and the landscape. The variance is not in deem with the rest of the neighborhood. It lacks the standard district size of a district yard size requirement, an appropriate development of the garage located to the rear of the property line, and the need to reducing and altering public street side parking. And we ultimately want to avoid kind of like this to happen, because this is our main concern.
Your time, sir.
Could you finish that thought, please?
Yeah. So this is if we shift the parking space, basically, one, it can lead to loss of parking space in that area, or two, it can alter the parking space. So what happens is they have a tendency of hogging. There's always two cars parked there, but they always park right in the middle of potentially four parking spaces, and now that leaves an inconvenience to the public and to all our neighbors, and that leaves us really unhappy seeing that. So we're ultimately trying to avoid this, and we don't want it to shift. We don't want to lose a parking spot, and we would like to preserve those gaps. Those gaps can avoid them from hogging up parking spots.
So your property is next door, and you have a curb cut and a garage as
right
well.
Now there is, but once they move it, it will shift it. The opening of the garage will be right there, and then we might lose our parking spot, but it may also be altered, as in there will be no curb cut.
But you'll still have your curb cut, and you have a driveway and garage and your property, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So that'll still be retained. Have you had any discussions about, you know, your concerns about how neighborly your neighbor is and how they've been using up the parking spaces? I mean, that's clear that as a concern that you've raised. Have you had any discussion with them about this?
Multiple times.
Okay, and they've not been responsive.
And it's really inconsiderate and selfish from why I see it. Okay. I mean, I'm okay with hogging up one space, but do not hog up two space with one car. It's really selfish.
All right, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item for item 11, 1248 Silver Avenue?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Serena, and I'm the direct neighbor that is impacted next to the lot. Sorry. My family and I has been living in our house for more than 30 years. We are neighbors who are directly impacted because we live right next to subject neighbors who are applying for this variance. We wish to oppose this variance, and here are the reason why. At first glance, looking at the proposed detached garage, you already notice right away how far off it is away from the unit building. It is completely incompatible with the existing building and surrounding neighborhood character. The proposed detached garage is extremely close to the property line. That if you look closely to the final proposed plan, the rooftop has exceeded the property line, crossing over to our side. This would be a loss of privacy to us, and it will not be desirable, because that would mean we will no longer be able to park in front of our driveway, as we have done so for so many years. The proposed garage will be built on one of the most critical parking spots on the block, replacing it with a much smaller space. Parking is already a major issue in our neighborhood. You have no idea how much hardship we have already endured when the subject neighbor is not only a homeowner with multiple tenants, but they're also a business owner who work and live there and hogging huge parking spaces for their customer and for themselves. Their lot alone has more than 6-7 cars belonging to them. To say that they have held half of their entire block is an absolute understatement. The critical parking spot that they want to build on determines their shady tactics. They already have a one-unit garage, but they're not using it for their vehicle purposes. So why should they be granted special privilege to destroy 45% of their yard lot depth to create their garage there? It is clear to see that they intend to hog even more parking spaces. It is extremely unfair to the neighbors around. Last but not least, to maintain our house in good condition, my family and I often repair and repaint the house ourselves. With the proposed detached garage, it will limit and cause hardship as well as increasing danger to us. With the reason listed and the power invested in you, I desperately beg you to deny this variance.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment for item 11 for 1248 Silver Avenue? There's rebuttal, yes. So if there's no other public comment, we can go to the rebuttal.
So right next to a block away from our house is actually a big park So there's multiple parking spaces that are available around over in that area. So it's only not even a block away. So when they bring up the topic of, you know, there's no space, we're parking right in front of our garage. We're taking public space. I mean, it's not our fault that they can't get the space. It's, you know, we, and also when she brings up the business, we're, the business is shutting down at the end of this month. So it's no longer gonna affect them having the customers here. And also, according, and with our plans, we actually have bicycle parking, we have all street parking. So when they say that we're gonna take up a lot of space and, you know, take up all that, it's not true. It's in their opinion, of course, they feel that way. But when there's tons of parking, there's like a whole, that park is about two blocks by two blocks. It's a large area. So there's a lot of extra parking over there too as well. I mean, in San Francisco, it's gonna be challenging finding parking anywhere. I mean, they can say it's our fault, but we park in front of our garage to reduce the amount of parking that we would take up anywhere else. So they also park in front of their own garage. I see it as well. And so I don't think that should be an issue. And we do have, we didn't want to butt up against their house, but it was the only option we had with the building department. After 10 years of negotiating, finally, when it was at a certain point, like this time, when they actually were okay with having us have the parking over there, and it's similar to the house across from us as well, too. So they also have this type of setup, but they have two floors, so we only have a single floor. So this is nothing against the neighbors. This is. And also, they say that they constantly paint their house, but they haven't painted their house in maybe over 10 years. And we allow them to get on our property to paint their house. And if we have the garage there, they wouldn't have to paint the bottom side of the house. And there's no invasion of privacy because they have no windows on that side of the house either. So if anything, it'll help them not have to paint the bottom of their house. They would only have to paint the top part of their house.
Is the... Sorry, was that?
No, go ahead, yeah.
Is the garage currently used?
It's, right now it's storing a lot of my dad's old construction stuff because he's been working on getting this passed and allowing, hopefully getting this built. So he has a lot of like materials inside the garage. So it's kind of just waiting to be used once we get this granted.
Okay, and then so... in terms of the neighbor's complaint about the vehicles being parked in a way that blocks, you know, others from using it, have you had discussions with them? Has this issue been raised and
I'm not sure what we can do. Like, hey, you know, can we let you park here? Like, I mean, it's not like we're like physically like getting in confrontations with them saying like, you can't park here. But if they aren't able to park there, we're not going to go up to them and yell at them or anything.
Excuse me, so please don't talk. This is just right now for the project sponsor's rebuttal. If I have additional questions for anyone else, I can call them up. So it sounds like that the photo that he showed did show maybe not the most space-efficient parking. So why not park in a manner that, you know, usually you pull up within a couple feet of the vehicle behind you so others can share the curb space?
Yeah, it's not a curb, but I mean, they feel like there's other cars that park there. It's like, it's not like when we...
Right, but my question is, you know, like in the photo that they showed, why not be more of a good neighbor and be more space efficient when you're parking? Because as you did say, right, that parking is hard to come by in the city.
Yeah.
So why not be more of a good neighbor?
So there's sometimes it's parked like that, but it's not all the time. Like if they know that, let's say...
Please don't speak out again. Please don't.
Let's say like, you know, someone just moved because then like I park my minivan in front of the garage. So sometimes they'll make a little space right before I park there if there's enough space. But in that picture, like, I mean, it's not something where it's like constantly like that. People can park there, and there's usually about like, you know, they just park maybe like a foot away from the garage. It's not usually like that, you know. Right. They you know, pick and choose which ones they want
to. How many vehicles are associated with the address?
So there's the people living there, there's about maybe four vehicles.
And then the vehicle, so like the truck that was there, is that associated with that property? Someone lives there, or?
Yeah, so that's, that, again, like that's, he's gonna sell that truck once he gets done with all this, because he's already retired, but he's making sure that he has this truck available to use when we are able
and
to get
the permit.
Is
the vehicle just left there for a week at a time, or?
It's left there to park, yeah.
So until street sweeping comes through?
Yeah.
And so then it's just moved for an hour and goes right back to where it is?
Well, he takes it to, you know, other places as well, but he usually doesn't use that vehicle because it's, you know, uses a lot of gas.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Maybe if I could have the neighbor come up briefly and just to the point of the vehicle, is it when one of you could come up, you know, are vehicles left there for long periods of time?
I can say almost every day. They're retired, so they have three vehicles lined up to hog at any given time. That truck is there every day. And there's two more cars that would be pretty much there almost every single day as well. Okay. So the tendency is once they hog up the two spots, right, they'll park right in the middle. So their family member and tenants, once they come back from work, they'll just simply shift it over so they can park another car there. So it's a tendency to hog up floor space. Now the concern is once the variance is approved, they have the whole entire section to themselves now. That possibly six, seven, who knows, a parking spot that will they can kind of hog.
That answers my question. Thank you. And if I could just have a quick response from the project sponsor finally. So how will the garage be used if it's not being used now? What's the need for this garage in the first place?
So it's mainly to, you know, be up to code because we do have basically three units there and only one single car garage. So
the planning code actually doesn't require you to retain this parking. You can just do the bicycle parking and you'll be code compliant with that.
So like
a new garage.
Yeah, I mean, but after we get the garage, then we'll be able to have like a place to actually park inside. So right now we have nowhere to park inside because the garage is basically, it's built about 100 years ago. So it's like every time we take the risk of scraping our car against the side of the...
If the variance is denied, then what do you do?
If the variance is denied, I mean, we'd have to go through the process again and try to get it approved. But we want to at least have one parking space. And
you could do everything else. I mean, because the parking isn't required because you can just do bicycle parking to satisfy that requirement. So you could go ahead and build everything else that you want to, but not have the garage, which the garage itself, you know, you have one curb cut there that takes away one on-street parking space, most likely, and which you're just basically privatizing for this garage. So is there a net benefit to the community?
So there'll be definitely like more parking on the street.
If the variance is denied too.
So if the variance is denied, then we'll have to take up all those parking spaces. Like we will definitely take up all those spots. Like, but at least there'll be one car in there, in the garage. So my dad's gonna retire. He has that big truck, he could get rid of that. So that's going to be gone.
And he lives there?
Yeah, he lives there at the property.
You said there were tenants because there are multiple units, and so your family's in one of them.
Okay. Yeah. So then one car would be there. They get rid of the car, the truck, and then they'll just have one car there. So that'll be two cars less on the street. That would help us. That would help them. And right now they're seeing just like, oh, there's going to be two curb cuts there. Okay. But, of course, that curb cut that's presently there is not going to be there anymore, or people just park there because there's going to be no garage. That'll be a reduction of basically two cars out of the amount that are there.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for all the public comments. So I think at this point I will take the matter under advisement. You know, I think a lot of this is just down to a question of neighborliness, for lack of a better word, and how kind of people can coexist and deal with the competing resources that we have in the city for parking. Hopefully something, you know, you can discuss something and work something out. I could see a reason for not granting the variance in that it's simply, you know, we would have at least one more on curb street parking space if the variance was denied. You would still be able to have the project and be able to do the expansion. That's all within the buildable area. So, you know, you could just provide the bicycle parking spaces. So I'll take it under advisement. I'll also look at the kind of the park and the nearby parking situation, try to assess that as best as we can. In the meantime, it's always good if the parties can, you know, discuss. Maybe they can work out a compromise if anything does of that sort does come forward. Just, you know, we can report back to our office in the next week or two. Otherwise, I'll take the matter under advisement. Move on to the next case.
Thank you. Moving to item number 12, case number 2017-014237 VAR, 71 Eagle Street, front setback and usable open space variances sought. Project sponsor?
Sorry, one quick question.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't here right at 9:30. If we were not taken off the consent calendar from the regular calendar, does that mean we're approved?
Yes. Case, which item were you?
Case number 3.
Oh, yeah, that was granted on consent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for having us today. I am the architectural representative of the project and wanted to explain about what we're doing. So we are proposing to build a small apartment on 71 Eagle Street where an existing laundry room sits on top of a garage along the property line. And here is an image of what is of that laundry room on top of the garage and the existing conditions. The laundry unit received a variance approval in 1978 to be built along said property line, but since it's too small to renovate as an apartment or ADU, we will need to demolish this to be an appropriate livable size. So we need the variance again for section 132. We find this to be an extraordinary circumstance because of the existing site limitations on the steep upsloping lot. You can see here on the site plan that the house kind of takes up almost the entire lot and that there's no other space for this unit to be placed, which affects the second variance of usable open space. So the clients are utilizing the existing footprint of the laundry room to take up as little open space as possible and not using the open space in the back of the house in their little backyard. Since the house is zoned in a two-family residential area, the project is in accordance with the master plan by adding housing while still preserving the height and overall shape and footprint of the home. So right now there's only one family living there and they're trying to have someone else be able to live in the on the lot. We have gone through full historic review to make sure we're meeting city requirements and that the house is being preserved. And we also had the pre-application meeting with the neighbors to answer all questions and comments and wanted to be as neighborly as possible and meet with all of them. So.
Thank you.
That's that.
So it's a odd lot. I mean, this, I guess mm-hmm. this was part of a public right-of-way at some point that was, you know, vacated and sold to the current property owner. Is there any reason that they have not merged the two lots? It seems like others have not merged it either, but I'm wondering if this is something that has come up.
Oh. I'm the homeowner. I can answer that.
All right, sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Mostly inertia. When I purchased the property, it was on two parcels, and I never really found a compelling reason to combine them, so I just haven't.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And
there is a cost associated with combining the two parcels, is there not?
It could trigger reassessment of the property. But if it was recently purchased, I mean, it may not have that much of an effect. And there would be a cost, an application cost. But, how long have you owned the property for?
I've owned the property for 12 years.
12 years. So, yeah, then there could be an assessment issue. But I would, you may want to look into it. It would seem that administratively it would be easier. And I don't know if the building department would have any issue with this, because does the new unit straddle the property lines at all?
Yeah.
And have you discussed that with the building department to see if they have any issue with the unit straddling two lots, or?
It's only the innermost lot line that straddles none of the three other surrounding.
Yeah, no, none of the adjacent properties, but there are two lots here under one ownership, and I don't know if the building department's going to have an issue with the unit that is being proposed straddling that lot line. It's just something to investigate. I mean, it may be that it's not an issue for them. I've seen in other cases where they've, and maybe it's, I don't know what triggered it, but that they had, fire rated doors when you have going between property lines. So just mm-hmm. something to look at, investigate further. It is a little bit of an unusual condition. I think the neighborhood notification expired yesterday or over the weekend, and you didn't receive any other comments from neighbors or?
No, the only comment they contacted me directly and asked if we were changing the height, and we said no, and they said, great, we have no issues with this then. So that was it. That was all we heard.
Okay, thank you. We'll see if there's any other public comment here for this item today. Any public comment on item 12 for 71 Eagle Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the unusual lot configuration as well as the topography, as you noted. And that's all. Thank you.
Moving to item number 13, case number 2018-012385 VAR, 246 Missouri Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor for this case, would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes. Project sponsor for 246 Missouri Street. Okay, moving along. Case number 2018-000959 VAR, 1117 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the project sponsor?
Yes.
5 minutes.
Good afternoon, or good morning still. I am the project sponsor, working on behalf of the project sponsor. I'm the engineer of record on this. My name is Erivan O'Neill, representing One Design. Our proposal here is essentially the same permit that was already approved for variance a couple of years ago, back in 2006. And due to the my client's financial situation at the time, they weren't in a position to move forward. Permit since expired, and we are back here with essentially the same project that was already approved. And the scope of work is to take this existing non-conforming building and create, there's currently a 300 square foot essentially studio unit, and create a better unit that will provide a better quality housing for a family. So convert this to a townhome unit over a garage by adding a vertical addition to the building. So it'll be now a two-bedroom unit, and the variance we seek is essentially because the lot size is so small. On the site plan here, we have a lot that's 17 feet by 25 feet. I think it might be the smallest lot I've ever dealt with in the city, in my experience. But essentially, we're building to the property lines on all sides, and we are getting the open space from the roof deck that's there at the top floor. And in doing so, we also respect the neighbor's building by providing that setback to mitigate against any shadows being cast on the neighbor's building. We are cognizant of the neighbor's light well, where the building is not encroaching on the light well. And we would request that the variance be granted based on its prior granting, and also the fact that this will be providing badly needed good quality housing for the city's housing stock.
Thank you. Let's see if there's any public comment on this item number 14 for 1117 Sanchez Street. Any public comment? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance. It is clearly an extraordinary lot, and I would agree, one of the smallest that I've seen in the city as well. I think the Section 311 neighborhood notification is out currently. It expires at the beginning of July. Not aware of any other public comments that have come through at this time, but we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 15, case number 2013.0491 VAR-02, 1335 Larkin Street, dwelling unit exposure variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. For the record, my name is Tony Kim, and I'm here to represent the project sponsor. I think you might be familiar with the history of this the applications, but I'm here today to request an exposure variance for an 11th unit facing the rear of the subject property. The proposal is to convert the largest two-bedroom unit facing the rear yard on the sixth floor into two one-bedroom units. There are no physical changes or material changes to the exterior of the building. All the window locations will remain where they are. So visually, there will be no changes if looking at the building from the public view. I will try to concisely highlight the hardship findings made at the previous variance decision letter. The subject building contains a historically significant building, and the preservation of that structure requires all kinds of setbacks that prohibits the project sponsor from capturing the maximum dwelling unit that's available. And so with that, the total number of units proposed is 23 units now, and it's really no different than what was approved previously. So I think the adding to the housing stock and meeting all the relevant policies and providing housing in that zoning district would be a positive public benefit as well as private in San Francisco. So I'm available for any questions, and on behalf of that project sponsor, I respectfully request that you grant the variance, please.
Thank you, Mr. Kim. And I believe the project had previously been subject of a DR at the commission. Was that correct?
Correct.
The project is the same. Envelope is previously approved, as you noted. It's just the addition of one dwelling unit. And was it because you were able to accommodate an additional floor within the same envelope? Is that
correct? So with the preservation of the building, to get all the lumber into construct the building became very difficult, and so the project sponsor decided to pour concrete, and so that reduced the floor assembly, allowing them to create one more floor, okay, resulting in these extra units.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Was there any public comment on this item number 15 for 1335 Larkin Street? No. They're lining up on the wall. Okay, so seeing no public comment on item 15 for 1335 Larkin Street, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance. Thank you.
Moving to item number 16, case number 2017-006544 VAR, 1964 to 1966 Great Highway, front setback and rear yard variances sought.
Hello, my name is James Skelton. I'm the project architect for 1966 Great Highway. My clients are going through their entitlement process on this project again, which went through a variance in DR back in 2009-2010. Variance was approved. And now they're attempting to go through the same entitlement process to get the rear and front setbacks so they can build a two units about 1,800 square feet each on the property. On the front, they're going to a 7-foot setback. The average is around 10 feet 5, so they're going 3.5 feet over on the front setback. The rear setback requirement is 22 feet, which they're going 7 feet into. For a 15-foot setback. On the fourth floor, however, they are pulling that back on the front and the rear to help with light and air for the adjacent properties. We have gone through the planning and the RDAT and the variance. So far, we haven't received any comments. We did receive comments back from the RDAT, have come in line with those, and no variance comments as of yet. The lot is substandard. It's about 1,700 square feet. The average lot square footage is around 2,500 square feet for this block. The two adjacent properties are even larger than that, closer to 3,000-4,000 square feet. Um, So this would provide two units in a garage space on the first floor. The first floor would have partial garage space, partial first floor, first unit, and the second floor would be all first unit as well. The third and fourth floors would be the second unit of the building. So we feel this is these variances for the front setback, the two adjacent properties.
Can you see this now? Oh, great. Oh, wait. There we go.
So the two adjacent properties are set back much further from the street than the rest of the block, which has created this 10.5-foot average setback. We wanted to come within 7 feet. The rest of the block is much closer to the front. On the rear, we are matching the adjacent property to the right. On the rest of the block, they do extend quite a bit into the rear yard, the other properties, though the one to the left does not. So we feel we are in keeping with the block for a substandard lot as well to provide two units for housing and not affecting light and air for the adjacent properties. Available for any questions.
Thank you. So my understanding, this was subject to a DR and variance back in, I think, 2009. And there were changes made by the commission. I think it was even a staff DR at that point. Envelope complies with the action of the commission at that time, as my understanding from staff that that was the case. Were you involved with the project at that
time? The first one? No, I was not involved with the first one. It does comply with the current RDAT and building envelope as far as the rear and front go. I do believe there was a small slight change on the side. Okay. For the envelope, but that was the only one.
Okay.
So we did, okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Is there any other public comment on this item number 16?
Please approach the mic.
Yep, in any order is fine. You have a question or?
No.
You want to speak on this item?
Please approach the mic,
please,
sir.
I mean, she wants to go first.
In any order is fine. Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so first of all, a couple of things. I'm not sure that the plan as stated meets any of the five findings, any of them, or at least all of them, okay? Two is that there is a couple of trees on the property now, and that and there's an environmental concern with the, as you know, the city is trying to, in that area, prevent pavement over natural soil, so there'd be groundwater permeability as such. I think they require 40% and that, and I'm not sure this meets it. I know we don't speak about the plan itself, this is for the variance, but the plan itself shows a two-car garage that is for a compact. It doesn't meet the minimum 18 feet distance for a regular car. And then even with the 16-foot garage door, as on the plan, it shows a bicycle room that encroaches into it, and it's very hard to meet that. But other than that, there's also the, as he pointed out, about the light and view shed in that area. As at right now, it's on Great Highway with the parking situation there, especially on the weekends with the beach and all that. It's very hard to believe that two unit would have sufficient parking in the garage, especially two small compacts, let alone on the street. Also, in talking about the view shed, is it the light? As you know, most of the homes in that area have a light well in the bathroom as well as in the kitchen, and that, and these are usually in the back of the house. And with the house present plan being west of that whole area, it would very greatly impact the light that would come from the western setting sun, especially at that time of the day where it's very important to have the light at that time. The third thing is that most of the bedrooms are in the back of the house, just like theirs are. And there would be concern for view, privacy, et cetera, because they have a deck in the back that, with a four-story, it would overlook all the other tenants' bedroom as well. And there's a concern about that, especially when the back is going to be encroaching within 15 feet of the property line, even though our most of the other property, as he mentioned, are within 22 to 25 feet of the property line. In terms of finding number one, these exceptional extraordinary, they have not demonstrated an exception extraordinary. They knew when they bought the property that it was a substandard lot. As a matter of fact, the neighbor next to them in 1955, when they sold them, had said that it was supposed to be a cottage, and that's what they agreed to. So in terms of finding one, there's no exceptional or unusual circumstances with them trying to ask for a variance.
Your time is up, sir.
I'm sorry?
The time is up, but if you could just finish your last thought.
Okay. In terms of the other findings, it does impact the neighbor and public welfare. As you know, it's a popular beach area. As I stated earlier, it does impact the other property owners. In terms of undue necessary hardship to the owners of this property, as I said, they knew what they were buying, and as they are mentioned, in 2010, they had tried for a variance, and there was a number of issues at that time.
Thank you. And
thank you.
When you are referencing the concerns about light and air and privacy.
Yes.
You're speaking to the properties behind the subject property,
right?
Not
yes.
The adjacent necessarily.
Well, the one on the 1955, that would be concerned too. As he stated, the one on the left, which is a condominium complex or a townhouse, they of course, they're abutted to it, so they can't see into that yard area.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other public comment items? Item 16.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Carmen Roman Murray, and my husband and I own the property. And I don't understand what his complaints are because I don't know. I don't think he lives around the property.
Okay. So you own the subject property?
Yes, we own the subject property. And we bought the property in 2008, and we got the variance, and we wanted to do the construction. But what happened was family problems. So we didn't go with the project. And now we are ready to go with the project. And it seems like it's going to increase the housing that the neighborhood needs. And it goes along with the area, with the block. And nobody complains or everybody's okay. I don't know where this person lives the statements that the light well, what does he care about the light well? He doesn't even live next to the house. The bedroom privacy, but all of the houses have windows that look to the other properties. You live in San Francisco, that's what's going to happen. If you don't want any privacy, nobody wants you to, then you have to move to the suburbs somewhere else. But in San Francisco, we live next to each other and we respect each other. So, no. So, as far as we're concerned, we are increasing the value of the area with this new construction. We are increasing the housing that the people badly needs, and it's a project that we are trying to do the best with the size of the lot. It's a small lot. No complaints about it. We're just dealing, it's only 3 feet here, and we are within the other houses. It's not that we are keeping alone, so we are not taking more than because of the size of the lot. We are just complying. We go along with the next property. We haven't gone any farther, so no privacy there because they are there too, looking over to the other houses. Then on the side, we are. So, I think that's why we were granted the variance. So, I hope the variance is granted again because we want to follow with the project. It's been very long now, and many things have happened. and we want to move forward with the project.
So as part of this process, did you meet and talk to the adjacent property owners? As part of this process, did you meet and talk to the adjacent property owners?
Well, nobody has come. I talked to a neighbor, a tenant from the building, and he said that he looked forward to see a building there because it's okay. Just an empty lot.
Well, you haven't had any other direct discussions with the adjacent property owners?
Oh, with the adjacent?
Yeah.
No, they didn't want, the person next door didn't want anything to be built there.
Okay.
But they were the ones that sold us the property.
And they didn't put any deed restriction on the property when they sold it, limiting the amount of development that could occur on it?
When they sold us the lot, he said they were fine with it. That they said, well, let's build them, everything. We bought it from them, and then once we bought it, they said, oh no, they shouldn't do this, you shouldn't.
Okay.
Well, okay. But you know, I think they got good feet, but they aren't here, and we are here.
They're not here.
And right. That speaks for itself.
Thank you.
So
that answers my question. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on item 16? You can step forward, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I was listening to the comments by the commenter, and he is implying that he's speaking for other neighbors. He's not. We had a meeting at our house where people who were interested got notices in the mail, and they came to our meeting, and he was the only one who had any problem at all with it. So I don't really understand his interest in it. He doesn't live as far as I know, I don't know where he lives, but he doesn't live on either side of us, and I don't believe he lives in back of us. He's not speaking for the other neighbors, he's speaking for himself. So when he's trying to protect the other neighbors, that's not an argument because they're not here making that argument. He's making it, and he's trying to appear that he's representing other neighbors. He's not.
Thank you. So is there any other public comment on item 16 for Great Highway? Saying that, sir, could you answer that? So are you one of the adjacent property owners?
Yes, I am. I'm the people behind them. If you look on the record, as well as my record, I am the owner. I live there.
Okay. Of the property behind?
Right.
It's directly behind?
Yes, directly behind.
Okay.
1965 48th Avenue.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, so you're not representing the adjacent property owner to the north, who had, I believe, sold this property to the current owners?
No, I have been in contact with Wayne, who is the owner, and his girlfriend, and I just texted them because they were going to show up on this meeting, but I'm not sure why they're not here.
Okay.
But it's untrue, and I couldn't hear exactly what she said, that when they sold the property to them, like I said earlier, it was supposed to be a cottage, and they were very upset. I think if you go back to the 2009, 2010 variance.
So they're not here.
Right, I understand.
But from what I understand, that when the building was sold, there was no restriction placed on the property as to its development. And the project that was approved back in 2009 is, as I understand from staff, basically the same envelope as they are seeking approval of today.
Except for the variance.
The variance was approved in 2009 for the same encroachments. So there was a variance for the project in 2009. So what is different from 2009 to today that now people are opposed?
Well, I believe that at that time of the variance, and even it was at a different place, the building department said that the permit had not been processed through, and the plans had not been processed through, and it was contingent upon those plans. And at that point, when we addressed it, my neighbors, Dan Perigo, next door to me, and Wayne, we addressed the meeting. I understand I can't quote them, but I don't know where the records, they did object to it, as opposed to what she said. But the planning person at that point in time said that when the plans were submitted, that we would have an opportunity to object to the plans itself and that as such.
In 2009.
Right, 2009, 2010.
So actually, there was a public hearing from the record that I saw, a public hearing on a discretionary review request at the Planning Commission, as well as a variance hearing, and I think a variance decision was issued and was never appealed. So
I'm sorry, for the variance?
The variance was, as my recollection, was issued and never appealed, so.
Well, I believe there was a point of record that they said that, like I said earlier, that the permit had not been applied, that they would have to look at what the whole permit itself was. But, and as she stated, for whatever, and I couldn't hear her clearly, but seemed that the plans were, the project was withdrawn before it went into the, through the permit processing stage where it would have been looked at in more detail. And at that point, I, like I said, we would have had the opportunity to review it at that time again, and I don't believe that ever happened.
Thank you. And I believe the neighborhood notification is currently out. Did you receive the the neighborhood notification, the Section 311 notification with the plans?
Actually, all I received was for this this meeting notice. I would not even receive because they said something about reduce mailing type of thing. The plans I did receive, but one evening and all that. But I was the April 10th planning meeting that they had talked about. None of us had received any notification about that to even submit input on it at, on so one way or the other.
You have not received a neighborhood, a 311, what's called a 311 neighborhood notification. That comes with 11 by 17 plans and a mailer.
Let me look and see. I don't want to misspeak.
Actually, what's that in?
Okay.
That might be it.
Yeah, I received this, right.
Okay, well, so you did receive notice.
This is for the variance.
That, and that is, that's the, we do have a lot of notification processes, but we're working on that. So that is a neighborhood notification for the building permit.
Well, to speak on that point, I received it after the April 10th, 2009 time when the building permit was filed and we had time to submit, you know, input
into it. There should be two dates on the bottom right-hand corner. What do those dates say?
Yeah. Notice was 6/6/18 and expiration 7/6/18.
Yeah, so that's currently active right now. So you would have the ability to file a discretionary review with the Planning Commission based upon the notice that you have there.
Okay, okay.
Okay, well, all right. Thank you. Let's have a 3-minute rebuttal from the project sponsor. And I think if we can consolidate all your comments into this rebuttal, would be appreciated.
Yeah, there were a lot of comments there. I guess just to inform the neighbor that it was December 17th, 2009 that the discretionary review was approved, and then September 21st of 2010, the variance was approved. For the rear yard, we have a setback the fourth floor, an additional almost 6 feet, 5 feet, 10 inches. There is a deck there. There are windows. But the depth of that block for all the rear yards combined, there is an open space on that block, and we don't feel like that prevents light and air to the adjacent properties, especially at the rear. We haven't heard from the neighbors, but we are matching the adjacent property to the right, and then to the left, we are extending beyond 14 feet. 3 inches from their property, but they do have a 50-foot wide property, 50 feet by 70 feet, much larger than the property that they have sold, the lot that they have sold. So these are the variances we're seeking again. So
thank you. Did you receive any comments from the adjacent neighbor to the north in opposition?
No, we have not received any comments.
No,
mailings,
I think
nothing.
Our department. So
plenty.
Okay, but. Thank you. With that, I think we'll close the public hearing. I would note the neighborhood notice is currently out and active until July 6th. You know, I think as kind of indicated, the fact that there was a variance previously granted for basically the same project, findings can be made to justify granting a variance. I will take this matter under advisement until we have the completion of the neighborhood notification. And go from there. So public hearing is closed.
Let's go back to item number 13, please. Item number 13, case number 2018-012385 VAR, 246 Missouri Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor for this case here? 246 Missouri?
I guess there's none. No show.
Well, then. Shall we continue to the next month's hearing and give them the opportunity to make their case rather than denying the variance because no one is
continue
here to argue.
July 25.
So we can continue this item number 13 to July 25th, our next variance hearing. And we'll go to general public comment for items that are not on the agenda today. If anyone has general public comment, seeing none, we will adjourn this hearing and reconvene on July 25th. Thank you very much.